Hallucinations are not always psychotic. They can actually be quite common for people with low vision. Identified over 250 years ago, Charles-Bonnet syndrome remains virtually unknown by most physicians. Affecting individuals with diminished eyesight, it's characterized by visual hallucinations ranging from simple patterns, faces, and landscapes to complex motion pictures of strange and sometimes disturbing scenes. Let's listen to Marjorie Lauer relate her experiences with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, followed by an explanation by Dr. Oliver Sacks, originally recorded in front of a live audience in Long Beach, California in February 2009 as part of the excellent series of TED Talks available at www.ted.com.
The hallucination started about approximately 15 years after my discovery that I had macular degeneration, and that happened very quickly and then became overwhelming. Well, first hallucination was a matter of seeing designs. I categorized them as tiles because each one was the same and each one was symmetrical. And then I moved from those to flowers, arrangements of flowers, again, all very symmetrical, all the same color, and there would be many of them. That's the way it began. I was shocked, and I said to myself, I wonder if this could have to do anything with macular degeneration, or what could be causing this. And I guess I was wishful thinking. I hoped that they would go away, and then everything would be fine again. But they didn't go away. They continued, and they changed, and they expanded as time went on. They became other things. I had one with that I found very charming, which was a gray-haired, bearded lady. And she came into my life with a little round, puffy cheeks, very small, very delicate. At one time, there were even three views of her, but that only happened once. But most of the time, she was just there by herself with this little face, impassive, no emotion showing. But I kind of grew to like her. Probably one of the worst experiences of my life. That morning when I got up, I started with my hallucinations, and they came tumbling one right after another, all varied, but over and over again, there was no end to them. I called my doctor, and if he was out of town, I wasn't able to reach him, so I decided I must get someone to tell me what this is, and I said to myself, I'll go to the best hospital in the city and go to the emergency room and get in that way. So I did that. I had my son-in-law drive me up to New York, and I went to this hospital. And there, it was late afternoon, and I spent the whole night in the hospital, and they just kept giving me, I had to sit in one place, and there were loads of other people there, and they'd come and give me another test. Another doctor would question me, and then another doctor would question me. So I thought surely I was going to get an answer. But when they were all finished, they had no answer for me except there was nothing wrong with my brain. I couldn't quite accept it. I had known right along there was nothing wrong with my brain. And it didn't seem that that was enough. There had to be more. And I was frightened. I was worried. I thought, possibly I'm getting senile. And that wasn't an easy thought to take. And my regular doctor, I've been going to him for many years. He's a wonderful doctor. He said to me simply, oh, well, that's happened sometimes with macular degeneration. That was absolutely the first time I was aware of it. I was so glad to know there was a reason for what was happening to me. Only after I talked about it did people tell me that they were having the same problem. That happened with several people, but it was only in that way that I discovered, because they kept it, as I did, to themselves.
We see with the eyes, but we see with the brain as well. And seeing with the brain is often called imagination. And we are familiar with the landscapes of our own imagination, our inscapes. We've lived with them all our lives. But there are also hallucinations as well. and hallucinations are completely different. They don't seem to be of our creation. They don't seem to be under control. They seem to come from the outside and to mimic perception. This was originally described right back in the 18th century by a man called Charles Bonnet. Now, this for me is a common situation. I work in old age homes largely. I see a lot of elderly people who are hearing impaired or visually impaired. About 10% of the hearing impaired people get musical hallucinations, and about 10% of the visually impaired people get visual hallucinations. You don't have to be completely blind, only sufficiently impaired. Now, with the original description in the 18th century, Charles Bonnet did not have them. His grandfather had these hallucinations. His grandfather was a magistrate, an elderly man. He'd had cataract surgery. His vision was pretty poor. And in 1759, he described to his grandson various things he was seeing. The first thing he said was he saw a handkerchief in midair. It was a large blue handkerchief with four orange circles, and he knew it was a hallucination. You don't have handkerchiefs in midair. And then he saw a big wheel in midair. But sometimes he wasn't sure whether he was hallucinating or not, because the hallucinations would fit in the context of the visions. So on one occasion, when his granddaughters were visiting him, he said, "And who are these handsome young men with you?" And they said, "Alas, Grandpapa, there are no handsome young men." And then the handsome young men disappeared. It's typical of these hallucinations that they may come in a flash and disappear in a flash. They don't usually fade in and out. They're rather sudden, and they change suddenly. Charles Lulin, the grandfather, saw hundreds of different figures, different landscapes of all sorts. On one occasion, he saw a man in a bathrobe smoking a pipe and realized it was himself. That was the only figure he recognized. On one occasion, when he was walking the streets of Paris, he saw, this was real, a scaffolding, but when he got back home, he saw a miniature of the scaffolding, 6 inches high, on his study table. This repetition of perception is sometimes called palinopsia. Well, what seems to be going on, as you lose vision, as the visual parts of the brain are no longer getting any input, they become hyperactive and excitable, and they start to fire spontaneously, and you start to see things. What is going on with these people? As a physician, I have to try and define what's going on and to reassure people, especially to reassure them that they're not going insane. Something like 10%, as I said, of visually impaired people get these, but no more than 1% of the people acknowledge them because they're afraid they will be seen as insane or something. And if they do mention them to their own doctors, they may be misdiagnosed. In particular, the notion is that if you see things or hear things, you're going mad. But the psychotic hallucinations are quite different. Psychotic hallucinations, whether they're visual or vocal, they address you, they accuse you, they seduce you, they humiliate you, they jeer at you. You interact with them. There is none of this quality of being addressed with the Charles Bonnet hallucinations. There is a film. You're seeing a film which had nothing to do with you. Well, that's how people think about it. So in the Charles Bonnet hallucinations, you have all sorts of level, from the geometrical hallucinations, the pink and blue squares, up to quite elaborate hallucinations with figures, and especially faces. Faces, and sometimes deformed faces, are the single commonest thing in these hallucinations. And one of the second commonest is cartoons. So what is going on? Fascinatingly, in the last few years, it's been possible to do functional brain imagery, to do fMRI on people as they are hallucinating. And in fact, to find that different parts of the visual brain are activated as they are hallucinating. When people have these simple geometrical hallucinations, the primary visual cortex is activated. This is the part of the brain which perceives edges and patterns. You don't form images with your primary visual cortex. when images are formed, a higher part of the visual cortex is involved in the temporal lobe. And in particular, one area of the temporal lobe is called the fusiform gyrus. And it's known that if people have damage in the fusiform gyrus, they may lose the ability to recognize faces. But if there's an abnormal activity in the fusiform gyrus, they may hallucinate faces. And this is exactly what you find in some of these people. There's an area in the anterior part of this gyrus where teeth and eyes are represented. And that part of the gyrus is activated when people get the deformed hallucinations. There is another part of the brain which is especially activated when one sees cartoons. There are other parts of the brain which are specifically involved with the recognition and hallucination of buildings and landscapes. And around 1970, it was found that there were not only parts of the brain, but particular cells, face cells, were discovered around 1970. And now we know that there are hundreds of other sorts of cells, which can be very, very specific. So you may not only have car cells, you may have Aston Martin cells. Now, at this level, in what's called the infratemporal cortex, there are only visual images or figments or fragments. It's only at higher levels that the other senses join in and there are connections with memory and emotion. And in the Charles Bonnet syndrome, you don't go to those higher levels. You're in these levels of inferior visual cortex where you have thousands and tens of thousands and millions of images or figments or fragmentary figments, all neurally encoded in particular cells or small clusters of cells. Normally, these are all part of the integrated stream of perception or imagination, and one is not conscious of them. It is only if one is visually impaired or blind that the process is interrupted. And instead of getting normal perception, you are getting an anarchic, convulsive stimulation or release of all of these visual cells in the infratemporal cortex. So suddenly you see a face, suddenly you see a car, suddenly this and suddenly that. The mind does its best to organize and to give some sort of coherence to this, but not terribly successfully. When these were first described, it was thought that they could be interpreted like dreams, but in fact people say, I don't recognize the people, I can't form any associations, you don't get anywhere thinking of them as dreams. I think I just want to recapitulate and say this is common. Think of the number of blind people. There must be hundreds of thousands of blind people who have these hallucinations but are too scared to mention them. So this sort of thing needs to be brought into notice for patients, for doctors, for the public.
Our thanks to Marjorie Lauer and Dr. Oliver Sacks, both of whom have passed away since these recordings were made, for sharing their experience and knowledge about Charles Bonnet syndrome. Due to their efforts and the initiative of organizations like Macular Degeneration Support and Macular Degeneration Foundation, awareness of Charles Bonnet syndrome has increased over the past decade, leading to research and better education of both doctors and patients. Scientists at the University of Queensland have found an association between Charles Bonnet syndrome and abnormally heightened activity in the visual cortex of the brain. The findings, which we heard Dr. Sacks hypothesize, were published in 2018 in the journal Current Biology. This study may have hit upon the reason why some people experience the syndrome and others do not. By exposing macular degeneration patients to various flickering images while performing a task using their peripheral visual fields, the researchers found that affected individuals showed strikingly elevated visual cortical responses to peripheral field stimulation compared with patients without hallucinations. Knowing that the syndrome is a neural rather than a brain disorder should relieve patients of unnecessary worry. That alone might help to reduce the frequency of the hallucinations and offer some comfort. Most important, it may lead doctors to a subjective means of diagnosing and treating the condition. And such protocols, we were happy to announce this past June, will soon be enabled by recent official recognition by eye care professionals around the world. The latest revision of the International Classification of Diseases, or IOD 11, now includes a first-time entry about Charles-Bonnet syndrome, saying that it, quote, refers to the experience of complex visual hallucinations in a person who has experienced partial or complete loss of vision. Hallucinations are exclusively visual, usually temporary, and unrelated to mental and behavioral disorders, unquote. The ICD-11 will start being used by doctors in January 2022. With the recognition of Charles-Bonnet syndrome as a non-psychotic disease distinct from other hallucinatory conditions, thousands of low-vision patients will finally have the benefit of a more focused, evidence-based database of information and treatment for this once mysterious and little-known condition.